following message is from Christian Life Austin. For more information about Christian Life, visit clcaustin.com. Thank you for listening.
Are you ready for a semi-funny, semi-cheesy story? Yes. Okay, I'm just warning you because this story needs help. And when I tell you the punchline, this is one of those where you're gonna have to give me a little bit of a courtesy laugh, okay? But I read it recently and it made me chuckle. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna share the story tonight. So here we go. There was a burglar. See, it's already a burglar. A burglar broke into a house one night and he shone his flashlight around looking for valuables, anything that he could put in his backpack, and he reaches for a wallet to put in his backpack when a strange voice echoed from the dark saying, "Jesus is watching." All right. He nearly jumped out of his skin, clicked his flashlight off, and froze. When he heard nothing for just a little while, he turned his flashlight back on and began looking for other things that he could take with him. And just as he reached for some jewelry that was left on the countertop, he heard clear as a bell the same voice echoing from the dark, "Jesus is watching you." Totally rattled, he shone his light around trying to find where this voice came from. And finally, in the corner of the room, his flashlight beam lands on a parrot. And that's not the punchline, don't worry. It gets better. He said, did you say that?" he asked the parrot. "Yes," the parrot confessed. And then he squawked, "I'm just trying to warn you." And the burglar relaxed, "Trying to warn me? Who do you think that you are anyways?" The bird replied, "I'm Moses." Still not the punchline, but thank you. "Moses," the burglar laughed. "What kind of stupid people would name a parrot Moses?" The bird quickly chirped back, "The same kind of people that would name a Rottweiler Jesus." That's the punchline. Thank you. My sense of humor is really weird sometimes, and that tickled me the other day, so I had to share it with you. Has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight, but we're going to dive into the Word of God on this Wednesday night, and let me set the stage for you. It was the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign. He was a king of Judah when Babylon, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, attacked and conquered Judah. Now, I have to tell you, every once in a while, I get nostalgic, and I enjoy just reading through, like, childhood stories that you never forget. You know, there's certain stories in the Word of God that stick out to you as you read as a child, and I like to just go reread them, even though I've read them a thousand times, but it does my heart good sometimes to go back and revisit some of these ancient yet powerful, most memorable stories from the Word of God. And this is one of those stories tonight. But King Nebuchadnezzar, after he conquers Judah, he goes into Judah and he was on a hunt for the best of the best to bring them back to Babylon. And you can guess, you know the story of perhaps three young men that he chose, that he sought out, that he saw were the best of the best. You know them by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, we're gonna look for those that have the brightest future in all of Judah, and we're gonna indoctrinate them with our culture. We're gonna feed them our food. We're going to teach them our language. Come on, I want you to see how this is a picture of society that we're living in. Can you see this? Put them side by side and see if you see any similarities here. We're going to teach them our history. We're not going to let them worship their gods. Instead, we're going to teach them about our gods, the Babylonian gods, these idols. And the very first thing that the Babylonian leaders did is change their name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not their birth names. And in essence, what they were doing was saying, listen, every time we call you by name, we want you to think of the Babylonian gods instead of the gods that you grew up serving. Isn't it amazing that times haven't changed very much? The tactics of the enemy haven't changed very much. You make one mistake and the enemy tries to define you over that mistake that you made. Over and over and over, the enemy tries to define who we are. And if we aren't careful, we'll forget who God says that we are. Because I don't know about you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've done things that I'm not proud of, and the enemy likes to sit right here on my shoulder and try to tell me all the ways that I'll never amount to everything that God is calling me to be. And if I allow the voice of the enemy to become greater than the voice of my God, I'll forget about all the things that God has called me to. And I'll maximize the voice of the enemy and I'll minimize the voice of God, therefore thwarting the plans that God has for my life. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 is where we'll start tonight. And King Nebuchadnezzar made a massive idol of gold. You're familiar with the story, but we're gonna walk through it because it's such a powerful story of faith. And I want to see, I want you to see how these young men's faith can encourage your faith in the middle of what could be life's greatest storm. But Nebuchadnezzar would make a massive idol of gold, and he says to every government leader, every magistrate, every official, he gathers them all together, and he basically says, it's time to dedicate this idol. And as we walk through verses 4-6, there's gonna be some scriptures on the screen. I'm gonna kind of tell its story form, but you'll get the gist of it as the passages are behind me. But the Bible says, then the herald proclaimed, this is what you are commanded to do, O people, nations of every language. In essence, he's about to tell them, as soon as you hear the band play, as soon as you hear the first note from the band, the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, all kinds of music. Here's what you're to do. Here's your instructions. Everybody in the land, you're to bow down, fall down, and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. So they have their instructions. The instructions are clear. The king has made a decree that this is what we are doing. And then verse 6, they give you the consequences of what happens if you choose to go against what King Nebuchadnezzar has set forth. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. Extreme. Consequences are terrible. Not minor consequences if you don't follow the decree of the king, but you're going to be thrown in. I want you to think about it. Don't just skip over this as a childhood story, but think about you in these young men's position. They have an option to bow or to stand in a bowing culture. So King Nebuchadnezzar tells the whole kingdom, you got to bow low. But there's three young men who chose to stand tall. And when the king finds out about these young men, can you imagine how the king feels when he gives orders? He expects everybody to follow. He's not used to being told no. When you're the king, people don't say no to you, even if they disagree. Oh, yes, sir. And they do what you tell them to do because they know the consequences of disobeying you. And now there's three young men who he has brought into the fold from Judah. Can you imagine the rate? He's trying to indoctrinate them and change them and bring them in. Can you imagine when these young men buck up against his authority? No, no, no. We ain't having no outsiders who we're trying to bring in stand against what I... Can you imagine the rage that he would feel? But he has a moment of grace, if you call it that. He says, I'm going to give you one more chance. When the music plays, bow down and worship. Verse 15, he said, but if you don't bow down and worship, you will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. And then he makes this comment, and I love it. Then, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? See, he thinks he holds all power in his hand. What God is going to be able to rescue you from my hand? And I just come on a Wednesday night to encourage somebody in the room tonight who might be standing in the middle of your greatest trial. You've got decisions that you have to make. Hard. Got some diagnosis from the doctor that you don't know what to do. Your heart is torn apart. You're standing in the middle of an incredibly difficult season of life. A storm cloud seems to be brewing over you, and it won't pass. It won't lift. You haven't seen the sun for weeks. It's storming. You can't get away from it. I've come to let you know tonight that a faith under fire is a faith that can be trusted. A faith, hang on, a faith under fire is a faith that can be trusted. A faith that endures the fiery trials of life is a faith that can be trusted. When you're going through hell, well, you've heard it, don't give up, don't quit. It's making you stronger. What you're dealing with right now, what you're dealing with right now is preparing your heart and your mind. You're walking through some stuff right now, and you need to know that God's not done with you. The enemy thinks that you're in a situation in your life right now that all you can hear is the enemy saying, and what God is going to be able to rescue you from my hand? That's how you feel in the season that you're in right now. That's what the enemy has been attacking you with in your mind and in your heart. So here's my question for you on this Wednesday night. Oh, this is not an easy question. But can your faith handle the fire? I don't like the fire. It's hot. Oh, the fire's not fun. Nobody wants a fire season. But can your faith handle the fire? See, these young men, you have to put yourselves in their situation. Of course, they would have been scared, but they also had their whole life ahead of them. These were young men who had dreams and desires and hope for the future. Of course, they wanted to live their life. They wanted to make a difference. And all of a sudden, they're faced with this unbelievable choice. All you have to do is bow down just this one time. Just when the band strikes, just fall down and worship this idol. Just like you're not, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is falling in line with what Nebuchadnezzar is asking. It's just one time. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we're faced with decisions like this, what do? It's one word, we rationalize. Well, I mean, I just do it one time? I mean, it's not really going to affect me. Like, I can just do this. I can just one time, just a bow down. We're good. Just kind of about just enough to get by where Nebuchadnezzar sees it, and good, he gives me a pass. I can go on. I can make a difference. I can keep doing what God is calling. I can just, and we rationalize it away. We turn a really, really bad idea into a good idea because it'd just be one time. It's not going to affect. I'm the exception to the rule. Of course it would affect you, and it would affect your son and your daughter, and you would never advise them to do it. But I could just do it this one time. Here's the problem with rationalizing all of these different seasons in your life is that when you do it the first time, you've set a precedent to do it again the next time. And when you rationalize away and make a bad decision because you just, it's not a big deal, then the next time you're presented with a situation in your life, you're gonna say, well, I mean, remember I did it that time, and look, I made it through. And then one decision stacked upon another decision leads to a season of life and years off of your life wondering, God's way over there. All the plans and the purposes that he had, how did I get so far off of his path? Once you rationalize it away one time, you've set a precedent, just like in law. Once a precedent is set, it doesn't matter how many years ago the precedent was set, you'll see lawyers that will come back to a precedent, and they'll have grounds because of what was set so many years ago. And we internally do that in our own lives. We rationalize, we make one choice, like, it's not gonna affect me. Only 10 years down the road, we do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again. So what do we do? How do we respond when our faith is thrown in the fire? And I think the beautiful thing about these young men, and it's one of the things that kind of jumped off the pages of Scripture to me as I reread this story recently, is they show us what to do when your faith is under fire. When you're in a season of life that you don't know what to do. You know what to do sometimes, but it's hard to do it. Everybody else is, I just come on, you. No. These guys show us how to respond when your faith is under fire. And here's the first thing I want to show this to you, is that you have to obey God's word over the expectation of man. Oh, that's not easy though. Because we put a lot of expectations on each other, and people put a lot of expectations on you. Family will put expectations on you. Coworkers will put expectations on you. And the first thing, if you want your faith to stand under fire, you have to obey God's word instead of crumble to man's expectation. Look at the story. The king said, bow or you're dead, basically. This is just summarizing it. Let's make it real short. Bow or you die. But watch how they reply. O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Oh, boys had a little boldness. In other words, and here's what I want you to see. They had already made up their minds. They had already made a choice before they went in there. King, I know what you're asking us to do, but we've already determined in our hearts that we're gonna obey our God. See, here's our problem a lot of time. Here's where we get into so much trouble, is that we haven't predetermined that we're going to obey God. here's what we predetermine a lot of times. I'm gonna follow my feelings. Well, it feels good. Try that out and see how it works. No. They went into this season of life knowing that they were going to obey God's word over the expectation that anybody put on them. And it didn't matter the pressure that they felt. They had predetermined before the fire got hot that they knew what they were gonna do. This is why I tell so many young people, and I remember preaching it so much as a youth pastor. Let me talk to some people in the house in your dating relationships. You got to determine right now, before you start dating, where you're going to draw the line. Oh. Because you find yourself in a compromising situation. Here's what you got. Well, it feels good. I mean, woohoo! You can't follow your feelings. You have to predetermine before you go on that date where you are and where you stand in the word of God that, listen, here's where our boundaries are. You got to know before you go. And knowing before you go will keep you from a world of hurt. I'm telling you, knowing before you go can keep you from depression. Knowing before you go can keep you from suicidal thoughts. Because all of this stuff that is attached to it brings so much pain and shame and guilt in your life. And it could have been stopped if you would have made a decision on the front side that I'm going to obey the word of God. Here's the second thing. I gotta hurry. Y'all got to get home before it's like 30 degrees outside. The second thing is this, is that they showed us how to believe God's truth instead of the facts. Now, it's really, when you hear that, it's really easy to say, okay, that sounds like the same thing. Like, what's the difference here? Let me unpack it for a second. Daniel 3 and 17, watch the richness of what they said. Basically, bow down, worship, or you're dead. They say, we're not gonna do it. And they say, they make this statement, King, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, and you gotta catch this next phrase, the God we serve, did you catch that? The God that we serve, not the God that we've heard about. Not the God that we've checked a box on Sunday and we went to church and we did it and we didn't really get involved, but we were just there. We were watching, checking the Rangers score throughout the game. Oh, shots fired, sorry. Not the God that mama knows, not the God that grandmama knows. Not the God of my childhood, but the God that we serve. The God that we serve. Now, let me tell you a dirty little secret, and you, I'm sure you could get to this on your own, but it's easier to predetermine the decisions that you're going to make in life and when you're faced with all hell breaking loose in your life when you are serving the God of the book. The God that we serve, not the God that we know and have head knowledge about and know information about, and the God that we can debate theological scriptures on. No, the God that we serve, that we follow after, that we're passionate about. That God, that's what they're talking about, and that's why they can stand so strong in the face of adversity. Because he's the God that they serve. He said, the God that we serve, watch this, is able to save us from this. And our God will rescue us from your hand. That's the difference in believing just the facts and believing the truth. What were the facts of the situation? The king said, bow down. Fact. They didn't do it. Fact. The king was angry. Fact. The king was building a big bonfire. Fact. The fire was hot. Fact. Everyone who was thrown into the fire would be turned into s'mores. Fact. The king was about to throw them in the fiery furnace. Fact. Our God will deliver us. Truth. I know all the facts. I can read about all the facts, but here's the truth of the matter. Even if you do what you say, the God that I serve, the God that I know, that I'm passionate about, that I have a relationship, he's the one that's gonna deliver me from your hands. He's gonna rescue me. Our God will deliver us. Okay, how does this play out in scripture? Let's talk about it for just a second. All sorts of examples. Fact. It's humanly impossible to walk on water. Truth, Jesus did it and so did Peter. I know the facts. I'm aware of the facts, but there's when you involve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's some truth that comes around that supersedes the facts from time to time. Fact, when you're dead, you're dead. Truth. Lazarus didn't stay dead, and neither did Jesus. I know what the facts say. Fact. The doctor may say that there's no hope. And the doctors are wise. They know what the facts are. That's what I love about a lot of the doctors in this house. They also know who the great physician is. That's the truth of it. We know what medical science says, but we also know who the great physician is. The fact may be that your marriage is in big, big trouble, but the truth is that he's the God of restoration, that he can do. All right, here's the last point. I gotta let you go. I'm gonna say that for the next 30 minutes. I'm having fun preaching to you tonight. Thank you for listening to the Word of God. Here's the last one, is that we believe God. They show us how to believe God. We don't just believe in God, but we believe him. Scripture says that even demons believe in God. Maybe your biggest challenge is that you believe in him, but you don't really believe him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't just believe in God, but they believed in him enough to put it all on the line. Ooh. They believed in their God, whom they serve so much that they were willing to risk being thrown in a fiery furnace, to risk all of their future, to risk their dreams. The last verse 17, watch. We believe that our God is able to rescue us, and we believe that he will. He's able, and he will. He's able, and he will. Verse 18, God is able, and he will. But even if he doesn't, King probably said it with a little attitude. Even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O King, that we're still not gonna serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. We know that he can, we know that he's able, we believe that he will, but even if he chooses not to, we're gonna walk in that fire. Because I ain't bowing down to that gold idol. I know who my God is. Even if God doesn't do it, and we know that he can, we think that he should, we want you to know that we're not bowing down. We believe he can, We believe that he will, but even if he doesn't. So Nebuchadnezzar says, fine, fair enough. Have it your way, fellas. You've made your decision. Turn up the fire. Heat it up even hotter. In fact, heat it up 7 times hotter. Talk about faith under fire. Let me give you some perspective. 118 degrees is a first degree burn. 131 degrees is a second degree burn. 140 degrees, the pain receptors overload and become numb in your body. 162 degrees, human tissue is destroyed on contact. And history tells us that this fire was at least 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Faith under fire. They said, go get the strongest guards. Tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Throw them in the fire. And the soldiers did exactly as they were commanded. The heat was so intense that it actually killed the soldiers, the guards that threw them into the fire. But it didn't kill these 3 young men. Watch. King Nebuchadnezzar was blown away. He was astonished, the Bible says. And he rose in haste and he spoke, saying to his counselors, fellas, didn't we throw 3 young men bound, tied up into the midst of the fire? And they answered, yeah, we did. There should have been 3 in there because that's what we put in there. That's very true, O king. But he says, look, I see 1, I see 2, I see 3, math is hard. I see 4. I see 4 men walking loose in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. You know what I love about this? You know what the only thing it burned on them was the thing that they were trying to bind them with. Isn't it amazing that even in the middle of your greatest storm, that the Lord can be working on the things that are holding you back, that he can take care of the shackles that the enemy's trying, even in the middle of life's greatest storm, he's still working on your behalf. There was a divine being in the middle of the fire. See, sometimes you just don't know how good he is. Until you're standing in the fire with him. Would you stand with me all across the room today? Isn't it amazing for those of you that have endured life's trials, that as hard as those seasons are, as difficult as those moments are, and you don't want to, nobody would raise their hand and say, woo, sign me up for it. But isn't it amazing how you learn so much about your Heavenly Father in those moments. You learn how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. You learn about the love of God in a way that you don't learn about the love of God when you're on a mountaintop. You learn it in a valley. Your faith is encouraged. Your faith becomes stronger when you're in the middle of life's greatest season. And watch what happens before I dismiss you. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies. Miracle. He did it. None of the hair on their heads was singed. Miracle. Their robes were not scorched. Miracle. There was no smell of smoke on them. Miracle. Verse 28, King Nebuchadnezzar says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any God except their own. Faith under fire. Faith that has been tried by fire is a faith that can be trusted. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in the room tonight and you would say, you know what, Pastor Brad, I'm in the season that you just preached about. Oh, it's in a whole different era and my circumstances look different. It's not literally a fiery furnace, but I'm going through hell on earth right now. If that's you, would you slip your hand in the air? I want to pray for you tonight. Wow, so many hands raised. Lord, right now you see the hands of your children in the air. God, I don't pretend to know the details of what they're walking through. Lord, I know life hurts. Life is painful. Life comes at us and brings us things that we've never expected that we would have to walk through. And sometimes it can cause our knees to get weak, and it can cause us to crumble, and we can make decisions in these seasons that can set us back for so many years. But God, right now, I pray for the faith of these precious saints represented by their hand in the air today, that their faith would not crumble, but their faith would be refined by the holy fire that they're walking through right now, that they're being made stronger by what they're walking through right now, that they will not crumble to man's expectations when it would be easier to look for a way out and take the easy way out. They're gonna stand strong in a bow down culture. God, I pray that you would be with them today, that you would let them feel your presence in the middle of this fiery furnace of a situation that they're in today. Let them know tonight that you are with them. And when you are with them, you are the one, and only you are the one who can deliver them from the hand of the thing that's trying to hurt them. Because you, oh God, hold all power in your hands. You hold heaven and earth in your palm. And we need you tonight, God. We rely on you tonight. We give you all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the Lord tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, before you leave, why don't you high five somebody next to you and tell them, hey, faith in the fire is a faith that can be trusted. God bless you. Thank you for being in church on a Wednesday night. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you on Sunday morning.
Man, what a powerful, powerful service. My prayer and my hope is that it changed your life. I know God was moving and He was speaking to you through it. Hey, on behalf of our pastoral team and our leadership team, we just want to thank you again for worshiping with us this morning at Christian Life Austin Online. We pray that this service remains in your heart and helps lead you to your next steps on your faith journey. And we want to take a moment right now to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. If you've never made that decision before in your life, whether you're in your living room right now or you're traveling, I know that Jesus will meet you wherever you are. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you want salvation today, it is that simple. All you have to do is say with your tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord, and also believe in your heart, truly believe that God raised Him from the dead. Let's take a moment and let's pray together. I'm gonna pray a prayer, and maybe you wanna pray a very similar prayer to what I'm gonna pray, but let's pray together right now. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the gift of salvation given through Jesus. We believe that Jesus is Lord, and we also believe that you, God, you raised Jesus from the dead. And God, we receive and we accept your salvation. We thank you for all you do for us. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Wow. Well, congratulations to everyone who made that decision. I'm so proud of you, and I want you to know that all of heaven is celebrating with you right now in this very moment. And we at Christian Life Austin are also celebrating with you as well. But hey, we know that this is only step one on the journey. We want you to know that you are not alone, and we don't even expect for you to figure this whole thing out on your own. We want to partner with you as we walk through our core values: know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives of others. We would love to help you take your next step. Whether it's water baptism, joining a life group, or getting plugged in and serving through Growth Track, we have everything you need to make this process easy. And we want to walk alongside you as you take your next step. We want you to know that you're valued here at Christian Life Austin, and you're valued in the kingdom of heaven. Hey, we want to know what your next step is. And we want to know if you made the decision to follow Jesus today. So please click the link in the description so we can get connected with you. Again, thank you so much for worshiping with us here today at Christian Life Austin. And we can't wait to see you soon.